Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Morgan's Pop Talks, breaking down the latest in reality TV and pop culture. Tons of stuff to get into today. Peter Weber is here. He's going to talk about the Traitors and Ekin-Su. We have the Love is Blind finale. We have Summer House drama to talk about. But first things first, the top of the show rant. I'm in my new home. I am in my new home. First full MPT episode coming from the new office. Not sure if you can hear the sirens and the fire trucks going by right now, but you know what? It's fine. There's always going to be distractions. At my old apartment, it was the Amazon man that I could see always walk past my window. Today, it's going to be fire trucks and sirens. But you know, it feels good to be in the house. It feels so good to not wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and hear my upstairs neighbor pee. You know, it typically sounded like he was peeing on our ceiling. So we don't get that anymore. I feel more rested. I'm getting sunlight. Can you believe I have a backyard? It's amazing. It's incredible. I mean, moving is the pits. And I was in deep in the pits this past weekend. Like, first of all, we didn't get a U-Haul because we're like, oh, it's just two of us. We have nothing. We're hoarders. I told you, I realized as I was packing up the house that we are hoarders. I had no idea that we had so much stuff. We had to go back and forth 10 times in one day. But you know what? We're here. We're living life. We're living that house life. I promise I will give a house tour as soon as it's ready. Right now, it's not ready. It's still looking a little dusty. We got to get everything up to par. Although I did do a little room tour on my Instagram. And let me just tell you, people are always going to rain on your parade because I was proud of my bedroom. I think it looks great. I love it. I love it. And I'm one of those people, when I start something, I have to finish it. I can't focus on anything else until I finish it. So we had a bed frame, we had new bedding, but we had nothing else. And so Monday, I was running around like Sonic the Hedgehog, Home Goods, At Home, Target, you know, all of TJ Maxx. I was a hamster on a wheel going to all of those stores to make sure that it's finished. I got it finished. I posted it on Instagram. And so I was like, ugh. Carpet on carpet because I put a rug down. I'm like, let me put a rug down. If you want to put a rug down, put a rug down. It's fine. Anyways, let's get into the pop three. These are the biggest headlines in reality TV. We have to start with the Love is Blind finale. I just got done watching it, so it's fresh in my mind. And it would not be a Love is Blind finale, even episode, if we didn't start with a Chelsea and Jimmy fight. It's just what we've come to know and love. You turn on the TV, you see Chelsea frowning, you see Jimmy sitting there looking like there's not much going on, you know, behind the eyes, and you know what's about to happen. You know what's about to happen. We've seen them fight every single episode. So basically, long story short, Jimmy doesn't want to go to the altar. And Chelsea was like, yeah, I do want to go. And then Jimmy was like, well, I'm not willing to take a step back. You know, whatever it is he said the first time. And I'm sorry, but Jimmy is right. I've said it in every single video that I've posted, every single moment of commentary. The first thing out of my mouth when it comes to Chelsea and Jimmy is that they should not get married. And I'm glad that they didn't. And I will say, in Chelsea's defense, because people don't come to her defense very often, Jimmy being so mad at her for saying Johnny and Amy are the strongest couple, they are. They are the strongest couple and everybody knows it. Did you see how the show ends? Everybody knows that they're the strongest couple. So why is Jimmy so mad about that? It's almost as if that to him was like the straw that broke the camel's back, or from Chelsea's point of view, the straw that was the excuse that broke the camel's back. I mean, there are tons of other things to choose from. The fact that she said she doesn't think that you love her, for one. The fact that you are best friends with somebody that you hooked up with that makes her uncomfortable, for two. And I see both sides of that argument. You know, there's all these things. And you want to say we're not going to the altar because she said Amy and Johnny are a strong couple The math ain't mathin', honestly, in my opinion. So Chelsea also always says, marriage isn't going to be easy. Marriage isn't going to be easy. It's not. It's also not going to be toxic. And these two are toxic. So I'm glad that they did not get married. So only two couples make it all the way down the aisle, Clay and AD, and then strongest couple award, Amy and Johnny. Just a sidebar, do Johnny and Amy know that there are other ways to not have a baby besides being on birth control? Do they know that? Do you think that they need like a refresher course maybe? Because I don't get it. I thought everybody knew that there were other ways. Maybe they don't. They know now, you know, like after being absolutely roasted online every single time an episode drops comes out, I think he knows now that there are other ways not to get pregnant. So AD and Clay go first. Let me tell you how to watch Love is Blind. You watch Love is Blind and see who goes first and who goes second and how much time is left in the show. When I saw that Clay and AD, it was their wedding day and we still had an hour and 7 minutes left, I knew it was going to be bad. First of all, they want to end the show on a positive note. So you're saving the strongest couple award, Amy and Johnny, for last because everybody knows that they have the best chance of getting married. You have an hour and 7 minutes of content. And you're telling me something doesn't go off the rails? No, of course it's going to go off the rails. And it goes off the rails with Clay and AD. Will Clay's genetic trait of cheating that was passed down from his father ruin this for him? Like, does Clay know that you make the decision to cheat or not to cheat? Like, it's not in your DNA. It's a pointed choice that you can make. And he makes it seem like it's a condition that he has. Like, you guys, you got to check me in. My fever is high. I feel like I'm going to cheat. You know, like I got the itch. I got to scratch it. Somebody give me my medicine before I do it. Like, that's not how this works, Clay. And it's sad because you see really nice moments between the families. You know, the moms met each other and they loved each other. And you know, Clay does have his faults, but what makes you second guess them is the fact that he's so self-aware of them. But I feel like in this moment, he used his self-awareness as an excuse not to get married. And I don't think that that's necessarily right for what he did to AD. So, you know, they're drawing it out. It's like 45 minutes worth of content before they actually walk down the aisle. They get down the aisle and I'm like, you mean to tell me this whole entire time we did not see AD's eyelashes move one time, and on her wedding day, they're flying off the handle and nobody told her that her eyelashes were not all the way glued down. Someone should be sued. That's just my personal opinion. But she says, I do. And then Clay says, I love you, and I don't think it's responsible for me to say I do. I need to do the work. I yada, yada, yada. You know, a million excuses. I told David this from the beginning, from the first episode when I watched the season of Love is Blind. This show boils down to one thing. Are you really ready to be married or are you not? If you are, you do get married, Amy and Johnny. Never one time was there any inclination that they were not ready to have a life partnership. I think Amber was ready to get married. Clay was not. And he showed us that multiple times throughout the entire season, that he just wasn't ready. He was like, I'm not man enough. Like, do you know what show you're on? And we talk about here for the wrong reasons. He was here for the wrong reasons. And then he says he wasn't deeply in love. If it was not done and dusted that day, it is now. Can you imagine if AD decides to give him another chance, which we don't know yet. I'm sure we'll find out at the reunion. And she sees him say, I'm not deeply in love. Come again? Like, what? Let me tell you, a scene that really caught me by surprise was the scene between Clay's mom and Clay's dad. I need Andy in a camera stat on those two, because that was actually one of the most riveting parts of the entire episode. You have these two people that Clay has talked about the entire time. Clay has talked about his dad sneaking around on his mom the entire show. And that contributed to him not being able to make a commitment. And then you see them have this interaction. And Rita, mic drop. She's like, you need to apologize to your son because he took some of those things that you showed him to the altar. And she's like, you got to live with that. You got to say sorry. I forgave you for that, but you now have to look your son in the eye and see how it has affected his life long term. And I was like, Rita for Golden Bachelorette. I mean, Rita for Golden Bachelorette. Get her on the show. So the last 30 minutes are Amy and Johnny, and they're good. I mean, strongest couple, clearly, and they get married. So there you have it. Overall, I thought this season was pretty good. It definitely was a redemption from last season. So we like that.
There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. It's something that I have struggled with in the past, which is why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best with no complicated routines, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. Right now, I'm using the OS1 Eye Topical Supplement to help strengthen and firm the skin around my eyes. So far, I've noticed it has improved hydration and improved firmness. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code POPTALKS at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code POPTALKS. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them I sent you because I love you like a sis.
Let's move on to the summer house drama. Everyone has been asking me, Morgan, what do you think about the Lindsay and Carl drama? I'm going to tell you what I think. I was in the thick of moving when this happened, so I've had a lot of time to really, really comb through it. But I'll tell you, I was super disappointed by it. I think a lot of us were. My first thought was, we are seeing the effect that alcohol does have on Carl and Lindsay's relationship in real time. It took me back to Winter House 2 seasons ago where Carl and Kyle are having this conversation and Kyle is saying, you know, Carl has told me that when Lindsay drinks, she is irrational. And if we continue to go down this path, I don't know how it's going to end. At the time, they brushed it off. You know, they were like, Kyle, zip it. I think in that moment, they were trying to protect their relationship because, especially Lindsay, I feel like she does give a lot to these shows. She does show like all of her relationships. And I do think that she wanted her relationship with Carl to work. So during that time, during Winter House, they wanted to keep those problems on the low. I mean, we even saw it last season when Danielle was kind of hinting that there were problems that they didn't want to discuss. It's my opinion that they wanted to keep those private because they wanted to protect the relationship. However, knowing what I know now and seeing what I know now, it obviously makes me rethink that conversation that we saw on Winter House. My second thought is that I am confused by what Lindsay is saying throughout the episode, because we get a lot of conflicting statements. So, you know, everyone does stupid things when they've had too much to drink. No one is their best selves when they're completely blacked out. But I think the problem with this is doubling down the next morning and not changing your stance when you're sober, then to go into a confessional and say that she didn't think Carl was on anything. It's confusing. And I don't know if that's in a preview for this next episode, but I did see she's sitting down, she's in the pink outfit, and a producer was like, did you really think that Carl was on something? And she says no right away. So now I'm confused. It makes me sad for Carl because to him, it probably feels like this is a label that he cannot get past. The two closest people in his life, 2 seasons in a row, have brought it up and used it against him. Last year was Kyle. when he was talking about, you know, Carl's time when he was actively using and working at Loverboy. And this year, it's Lindsay. We don't know exactly what happened in the car. I would imagine it would have had to have been extreme to warrant that kind of accusation. But even if it was that extreme, I think there are a number of other ways to address it rather than accusing your fiance of being on drugs on national television. You can say, you are acting differently towards me. What is going on? Is everything okay? Even you're hurting my feelings. Please stop. And then if you are really concerned, because let's not be completely oblivious. If you are with someone who has had addiction issues in the past, I don't think that it would be too far-fetched to assume that a thought might cross your mind every once in a while of, what if my person starts using again? Will I know? Will I be able to tell? How can I interpret the way that some people are acting? I mean, I think that that is a fear that people do have when they get into a relationship with somebody who is a self-proclaimed addict. But if that is the case and you feel that truly deep down in your heart, you say off camera, your actions are concerning me. Please give me some clarity as to what is going on because I can't do what we did last night, you know? So what now? I think Lindsay has to apologize to Carl publicly. I think that's the only way that the heat will die down a little bit off of her. I don't know that she will. Maybe she will on Watch What Happens Live or at the reunion, but I think it would be in her best interest to apologize.
Today's sponsor is Factor Meals. Finally, starting to get warmer. You want to spend your time outside and not in the kitchen. With Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Visit factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. You can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code poptalks50 at factormeals.com/poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Last but certainly not least, let's get to Brittany and Jax because they are separated. We're going to get a rundown of the separation. So last week, Brittany Cartwright Couchy, which has now been removed from her Instagram bio because that's when you know it's legit, confirmed that her and Jax are spending some time apart, living in separate houses. Jax called the paparazzi on himself and was like, no, we're fine. We can't. Listen, we've been watching Vanderpump Rules for 10 years. We know that Jax still lies. So no, we're fine does not mean no, we're fine. So last Friday, Brittany said, Jax hasn't made much of an effort to work things out, adding that she asked Taylor to hit some relationship benchmarks, but nothing has happened yet. She says she's not giving up on him, and she's hoping that they get back together. She posted some Khloe Kardashian cryptic Instagram stories. One of them said, distance is the best response to disrespect. Don't react or argue. Save yourself further anxiety. See your worth. Withdraw your energy and continue your life. So sources are saying that they've had issues for a long time. Jax Taylor, relationship issues? What? Are you serious? What? I mean, who is shocked? Why are we pretending like this is supposed to be some groundbreaking news? You know, especially after he posted the weird photo with his publicist all snuggled up in Montreal. It was weird. And now he's like popping off on Twitter saying, everyone's a marriage counselor now. Blah. You know, The Valley comes out March 20th. Everyone's like, is this all for publicity? It's like, what are the chances that this happens however many days before their new show comes out? I mean, if it is all publicity, it's working because I'm much more intrigued to watch the show now. Look, it's working. If it's a marketing ploy, it worked on me because my excitement level for the Valley was at like a 5. Now it's at like a 7, maybe 6.5. I don't know. I do think it's real because it's Jax. Did we think that Jax Taylor was going to look? 50% of marriages end up in divorce. In like Jax Taylor? Yeah, I don't know. I just don't feel like it's that far-fetched that Jax Taylor at some point in time was going to have marital issues, which, you know, everybody goes through issues, so let's not try to judge too hard. But, you know, I want to apologize to you because I was on the Let's Bring Jax Back train. I didn't know it was going to be a whole entire new show. I wanted to bring Jax back to yell at Tom Sandoval because the world is full of Sheenas who just cannot stop crying over herself and her former relationship with Tom Sandoval, even though he said he hated her pretty much. I needed Jax to come back and yell at Sandoval and then go back away. Not get a whole new show, but here we are and he is hot in the press. So we will see. Okay, for this week's deep dive, we have a special guest, former Bachelor and star of The Traitors. Peter Weber is here. He's going to talk all about his time on The Traitors. And of course, we're going to get to the bottom of the Ekansu rumors. So MPT fam, welcome, Pilot Pete. So this is not a trick question, but I do want to ask you if you remember that we have met before in person.
I do remember this. Yeah. Go on, baby. Let's go. Little Cleveland Browns studio or stadium.
Yes. Yes. So for those of you who don't know, I actually made a cameo on Pilot Peter's season of The Bachelor. I was one of the sideline hosts, I guess you could call it, at his group date in Cleveland. So we met then. I had nothing but nice things to say then. If you would have told me that day that 5 years from now, I would have my own podcast and I would be asking Peter about his time on The Traitors, I would have said, you're crazy. But here we are.
Look how far we've come. Who would have thought, right?
I remember that day was so wild. I mean, I still remember it very vividly. I don't know if you know this, but they were supposed to have Baker Mayfield, and I think it was Odell Beckham Jr. were actually supposed to be there.
That was,
but the Browns were losing so much that the coach said no.
That was the first time where I think I had some doubt creep in for the show about why the women were here, because I remember hearing that there was some that were so disappointed that Odell Beckham wasn't there. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. Why are you so disappointed here? So, no, but I do remember hearing that. That would have been cool to meet them.
Well, I'm glad that you remembered me. That made me feel a little, I definitely didn't think that you would have.
No, I definitely, yeah. I've seen you too on TikTok, Instagram, all the good stuff. So,
well, pleasure. Thank you. Today it's your turn to be in the hot seat because you have been, I'm going to say it, you've been the breakout star of The Traitors. You just turned out to be such a strategic force to be reckoned with. I mean, did you know going into this environment that this is something you would thrive doing?
I will say I didn't necessarily surprise myself in like my ability, my instinct to play a game, but yeah, I kind of surprised myself in regards to, you know, I was lucky to come on the show not really knowing that many people. And I know a lot of these guys were and women, they were the head honchos and the, mm-hmm. the big dogs in their respective games. And so learning that as the game progressed, being able to, like, about halfway through, you know, when I had a successful move, you know, with the shield block, I remember having confidence that was instilled in me at that point that was like, you know what, Peter, you haven't done this. This is not your forte, but you can play with the big dog. So, like, game on, let's go. And then I really started kind of getting into my own to steal the mojo, and I felt good. But it took a little bit to kind of get that confidence, but I'm happy it came.
Yeah, one of those people that you went toe-to-toe with is Parvati. I am an A1 Survivor fan, so she is an icon and a legend. She is so good when it comes to gameplay. She is one of the fiercest competitors, I think, that you could have gone up against. How did it feel to go head-to-head with her?
Oh, it was... Parvati and I keep saying we have a love-hate relationship, and like we got along very well from the beginning. We're naturally just like good friends, and it was cool like to learn all about her and hear her story. And then seeing her, you know, I didn't really fully know the extent of how big of an icon she is until I left the show and being able to do my own kind of research. But I saw like the signs of that as I was playing with her, and she's good. You know, she, I think one thing that like she almost convinced me again, like there was that conversation that we were having that it made the air of when we're kind of like reconciling and we have like that conversation. And they didn't show this, but like the tears that she'd done with like John and everything, she brought them all to me. And I'm like, oh shit, like, am I about to give into this again? And like, I'm like taking myself back to the bachelor. I'm like, no, Peter, stay the course. Cause she's so damn good. Yeah. And yeah, she was a force to be reckoned with for sure.
You had a click, I would say, of five people that worked so well together. My question is, did you ever doubt anyone in your group of five and think that they might have been a traitor?
Truly, no. And that's what made it so fun, is I really felt like we were playing with the upper hand of, we have numbers. And at that point, we had numbers before we started getting picked off. But it was so cool to be able to have that confidence in people. And yes, I always thought, man, if there's a recruitment, but again, knowing that I was the failed recruit, I also knew that no, our team is still intact because no one's been added to the traitors group because I said no. So that was, you know, a reason I had also denied the recruitment, but I never for a second after I gave them my trust, I never wavered from that.
Let's talk about the recruitment letter for a second. Was it hard for you to turn that down? I feel like if I was in that position, it would be tempting. Like, I feel like you would have to have a really strong pull that you were onto something, which you were, but was that part of your thought process in saying no?
I wanted to accept so bad. Are you kidding me? Like, I would have loved to have been a trader. I think I told Alan from the beginning I wanted to be chosen as a trader. I had talks with Dan where I'm like, if you would have recruited me when you recruited Parvati, I would have said yes in a heartbeat. When I got the letter, though, I was too far down the line with the team of people I was working with. I couldn't turn on them, but it wasn't just the loyalty. It was also, I didn't think it made sense to accept it at that point. I think I was too obvious of a choice for who the recruit would have gone to. I think I was just the obvious choice. I had put all this heat on the traders. I had been successful and accurate at some stuff. I'm thinking, you know, the next morning at breakfast, people are going to know there was a recruitment because there was no murder. Any logical mind is going to say, yeah, they're going to recruit Peter. Of course, bring him to that side. And so I was like, that doesn't make sense for me to take because, you know, now they can just throw me under the bus the very next day. And if they get to banish me, now they get all this credibility that, look, Peter actually was the traitor and we weren't. He put all this heat on us. So I'm like, it just doesn't make. They sealed my fate by making me choose. Either way, it made it significantly harder to win the game from that point on.
Did you know when you were getting voted out that night, or did you still have hope that it was going to be Phaedra? Could you read MJ and her teetering back and forth while you guys were at the round table?
I legitimately didn't think that I was even up for banishment, like even close to that, until I had a little quick conversation with Trishelle and with John right before we were going to go in. And Trishelle's like, people are talking about you, like you're possibly up. And I'm thinking we're going guns a-blazing towards Phaedra. You know, we're going to get three traders out in a row. Damn, Parvati, Phaedra, like this is going to be great. And really didn't think that I was really up for, you know, and maybe I was just so hyper-focused and like tunnel vision and playing the game that I could have done a better job of the social aspect and picking up on those cues. But I remember Trishelle tells me that, and then I'm like, what? And then I started thinking, oh, shit. And yeah, that whole round table, it was tough. I remember thinking I still had a chance, though, when I saw CT switch his vote because he had legit heard perspective and like he just wanted to get the traders out. I was like, okay, like here's someone that wasn't maybe my biggest fan. Now they switch their vote and they're going towards Phaedra, who I'm trying to, you know, advocate for. Maybe I have a chance here. Unfortunately, you know, I didn't go that route. And MJ sealed my fate and I was banished from the castle forever.
At that round table, the night of your elimination, Phaedra came pretty hard for you and said some things that you didn't like.
No.
How are you guys now?
You'll see at the reunion.
How was the reunion? Your first reunion with Andy Cohen? I mean, that had to be such a surreal experience.
Extremely surreal experience. You know, I've done a lot of cool things on reality TV, but that was one of the cooler things I had been able to do. I was sitting right behind Phaedra, and so I had a really good seat to like just really, you know, take it all in. Andy's right here, and You know, where we filmed it was like this just super extravagant. It felt like we were going back to the Traders. It felt like we were in a castle again where we filmed it. So the set was awesome and reunion was wild. There was a pinch me moment and there's definitely a twist that that's going to come that I don't think people are expecting whatsoever, but I think they'll enjoy.
At the reunion or at the finale?
At the reunion, yeah.
Okay. So we'll get to more of the reunion in a second, but I want to talk about, my husband and I have coined it the faithful walk of shame. When you get banished and you know that you are walking into that little circle and you have your speech, what is that walk of shame like? Did you practice your exit speech and do they show all of the speech? Because they all seem very short. Do they tell you, just come out and say it?
Yeah, well, they do, but yeah, they definitely cut a lot. The speeches usually are a lot longer. They cut a lot of stuff from mine. I mean, they hit the main parts. So going back to that, it's funny you guys noticed that. I remember being, it takes a lot, Morgan, it takes a lot to like get me angry. Like I just am usually a very even keeled person. I don't usually rise like that, right? With emotion that hard. And I was feeling all of it. All the feels, and just like once I finally got like that final vote, my fate was sealed with MJ. It hurt. I got very emotional. Like I poured everything I had into this game and given it all to like try to win and help the faithfuls win. And so it was every high, every low coming at me right there. I didn't even think about preparing any kind of speech or anything until I started walking up legit. And thankfully you sit there for a couple like minutes and they're readjusting cameras. So you have some more time to kind of think before you go right into it. But then I kind of just thought something up real quick. And I remember I was almost just like, kind of like, it was one of those moments where you're almost like kind of about to black out. Just like you have so much emotion going on and it's just like, I don't even know how to feel right now, but I just hope that I can just get some words out and then get out of here and just really process what just happened.
Well, and not to mention, it probably is even more so frustrating because you were right. I mean, you didn't know that with 100% certainty in the moment, but at the end of the day, you were right about everything.
Yeah, and I think it sucked. I wish I would, obviously not been banished, but it sucked, or at least I knew. I'm like, okay, I'm pretty confident I'm right. I think I sealed both our fate, like my fate and Fader's fate. Like she's going, as soon as I revealed to everyone, I am a faithful. Well, who are they going to vote for tomorrow night? It's going to have to be Fader. So I kind of knew it was going to go that route. But I didn't know until a couple of weeks after for sure. And I wanted to so bad. I was just craving, like, I need to be right. Because if I'm not, I'm going to feel like complete shit that I went so hard and I was wrong.
Yeah. Okay, Peter, we have to address the elephant in the room. Because you sat, not physically in the room, but on social media, it's in every room. You know, we all saw the seating chart. We all see the rumors. We see the pictures of Ekansu and your mom. So is there any truth to these Ekansu romance rumors?
I love Ekansu. She is one of the most beautiful friendships to come out of the game for me. And I truly mean that. We are actually very similar. In a lot of ways, we get along so well, but we're really, really great friends. That's the honest truth. She's out in London now and filming. She just started Big Brother, so I'm rooting for her on that. I see it all, and we're really good friends.
The picture. Can we talk about the picture between your mom? Because your mom is the one who added fuel to this fire. She typically has done that in the past, but she's really doing it right now too. So can we get the context behind the photo?
We all talk, all the cast, a lot of us talk after the show and everything and try to meet up. We got to meet up a little bit in New York, actually, for some press before the reunion. So, my mom, she became such a fan of the show and, loved Ekansu, loved Bergie, John. So a bunch of people from the show. Ekin had actually flown out to LA a couple of days prior because coming from London. So they flew her out a couple of days before we all got there. And, my mom and Ekin had just been friends, on Instagram and we're talking. So, they met up for lunch with my sister-in-law, Christine, and that's what that was.
So I don't know if you saw this, but Parvati did an interview where she said she didn't come out and say that you and Ekansu were dating. She just addressed that there were rumors, but she did say that there was another showmance that people aren't talking about. Do you know who this maybe could have been? The smile says it all.
I for sure will not be the person. I will not. Oh, I'm not kissing a tongue because it doesn't involve me, but I won't do that to them. I actually just found out about it at the cast party. I didn't even know this was going on, so, but I won't ever say anything.
Do you think it's something that the audience will ever know, or is it going to the grave?
I think it's going to the grave.
Oh, Peter, come on.
I've never been the kind of guy to put anyone else's. We won't make you,
but I mean, our thoughts are just running wild. Like, Cece and Phaedra, maybe. I mean, everybody seems to ship them. I want to ask you if you formed any romances.
Yeah, of course. Bergie, I would say, is the biggest one. I love playing with him just because I felt like he was just like my little brother. That he reminded me so much of Jack, my real little brother. And we got along very well right off the bat. Just, again, very similar in a lot of ways. And it was so cool to play with him. Kevin as well, we were very close. John, you talk about, you know, being at Cleveland Brown Stadium and 5 years later, here we're doing this. If you would have ever told me, I would have played a real life game of Clue in a castle in Scotland with the former Speaker of the House of Parliament, I would have been like, what are you on? Like, where does that come from? But John is one of the coolest people I've ever met, and I love playing with him.
You have to look this up because my husband, actually, he's half South African and half British. So he knew John immediately. He lived in London for 7 years. And there is a very infamous video of John, a compilation of him saying order in British Parliament for like 10 minutes straight. It's the greatest YouTube video I have ever seen.
10 minutes straight.
It's very long. It's like his, it's like a highlight reel of all the time he just was an absolute goof in the middle of Parliament, which is just great YouTube content. I'll DM it to you because you have to watch.
Please do. He did that a couple of times at the round table, and it was chef's kiss. It was perfect.
So this has been your return to reality TV. You know, we kind of had hoped that maybe we would see you on the beaches of paradise or something. Do you think this is the end of your stint on reality TV, or is there more for you in the future?
I hope not. This honestly has been, I've had the time of my life doing this, and I didn't really expect it, but I really, really did. I was better suited to go in this kind of route than maybe, you know, looking for love on reality TV. I've always been a yes man, and I'm trying to, you know, enjoy this life to the best of my ability. And it's, you know, what's really cool about, I was talking with one of my friends about this, about doing reality TV or the experiences that I've had specifically. It's one of the only times in life, at least for me, that you're able to completely detach from everything else in life. I mean, phone, any type of outside communication, and you're able to be 100% present in whatever that gameplay or love play or whatever that atmosphere is. You're able just to stay present for a long exterior period of time and just focus on that. And it's a unique experience that I didn't really like realize until doing Traders. I'm like, why did I have so much fun? It's just, it's like the ultimate kind of fun escape that it's different. And I don't know. It's really cool to be a part of.
Something interesting I think that is emerging now as more of these competition shows start to pop up and become really successful is Bachelor contestants do so well, whether it's Traitors or Special Forces or other competition shows. Do you think that the mental, we'll call it mental warfare that you went through as your time on The Bachelor, do you think it prepared you for this type of thing, to be able to read people and perform well in this type of atmosphere?
Totally. I can definitely see that. I think, you know, Bachelor Nation represent, let's go. It's cool that we've had so much success outside of it. But listen, being The Bachelor was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. So everything else kind of doesn't necessarily compare to that ass, and maybe not physically for sure, but you talk about emotionally, mental aspect, and just like mental strength and all that fortitude. I haven't done anything as hard as that. And so I think it does. It just naturally prepares us. You have a good little experience there to pull from. It prepares us to kind of succeed in some other avenues. And I think that's maybe why you're seeing that. Yeah.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. You guys, make sure you watch the Traitors finale and the reunion tonight, streaming on Peacock at 9 o'clock. Great job this season, Peter. And I hope this is not the last time we see you on reality TV.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you again so much for listening to another episode of MPT. Leave a little 5-star boop boop, a little love you like a sis. As a review, if you have not done so yet, please and thank you. Extra Pop and Papa Batch coming out on Friday on the Patreon, and lots to discuss with Maria going home. Can you believe it? And why did the producers hate Rachel? They cut out an entire one-on-one date when it comes to her. So we're going to dive into that on the Patreon. The link is in the show notes. If not, I'll see you back next week on another episode of MPT. And as always, love you like a sis.
A Huda Media Production.